Everyone, happy new year, happy 2016. Welcome to episode 58 of my 123 cents, the podcast. Very excited for this week's show. It is the first show of 2016, and it is a conversation with Princess Kimberly. She is the new grand champion of Chikar Pro, and if you've not heard of her, I believe 2016 will be her year, and you will definitely see and hear more of her, especially if you are a fan of independent wrestling, and in particular, women's wrestling on the indie scene. She wrestles for several promotions, and we'll talk more about that in just a few minutes. Just have some notes to get through before we get to the interview with Kimberly. And again, I appreciate her taking the time. She has a very busy schedule, as she discusses during the interview as well. So we took about 20 minutes and had a fun conversation. So again, thanks to Kimberly for taking the time to do that. I also want to do a quick shout out to the founder of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network, or co-founder and host of Nerd United, Greg Mahochko. He and his wife Ashley recently became parents for the first time, and their son arrived about 5 weeks prematurely, and he is still, as of this recording, in the hospital, working to get stronger. And our thoughts are with the Mahochko family and their son, and getting him home and starting a life as a family under more normal circumstances. So Greg, I know you are probably listening as you're putting this together. He engineers the program for me. I appreciate everything you do, and I know you've got a lot on your plate to be worrying about some silly podcast. So thank you for what you do. I certainly do appreciate it. And give Greg a check out on Nerd United here on the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. You can also check out his Tough Call Tuesday blogs also at jitterymonkey.com. So again, Greg, thanks. And we are certainly keeping our thoughts and prayers with you, my friend. A couple of other quick news notes in the world of professional wrestling. The Rock announced on Instagram that he will be a part of WrestleMania 32. Although I don't think they're giving the WrestleManias a number anymore. I think this is just called WrestleMania Dallas, or WrestleMania Star. I'm not sure how they're doing it. But anyway, he will be in Dallas, so will Chad and I. We took a break in 2015. We did not go to WrestleMania 31, but we are back in the saddle for 32. I like the fact that The Rock is going to be at WrestleMania 32. That doesn't necessarily mean I want to see him wrestle, although The Rock can still go. Again, though, you worry about taking that spotlight from someone, but The Rock is box office. He is, without a doubt, probably the biggest name, or not, maybe not the biggest name, but he's certainly one of the biggest names in Hollywood right now. And the fact that the WWE kind of still has him at their disposal is a great benefit, I think, to the world of WWE, at least sports entertainment. I would have liked, honestly, and I know Chad's probably rolling his eyes as I say this, I wouldn't have minded a Triple H Stephanie versus Rock Ronda Rousey match at WrestleMania, but I don't think that's going to happen. But I certainly would not shoo the idea. But, you know, we'll talk more about WrestleMania and involvement of different celebrities and superstars from the past coming up here on my 123 cents. And, of course, the Royal Rumble right down the road, too. And I don't believe, as of this recording, there are any matches announced. But Chad and I will have a breakdown of the Rumble, as well as a contest coming up over on my 123 cents Facebook page. So be sure to stick around and listen for the details there. Also, at my123cents.com, I have reactivated the past Royal Rumble blogs that I have written about different shows and memories from those. So if you want to check that out, please do. Also, coming up this week, January 5th, tomorrow, if you're listening to this show on Monday when it drops, but on Tuesday, January 5th, TNA, Impact Wrestling, is back on cable television. They will be on Pop TV. I'm excited about this because I get Pop. I did not get Destination America, so I did not watch TNA. And I am going to be watching, DVRing most likely, because the show does start at 8 o'clock. And for those of you who do know me, I have an early start to the day every day with my work. So I will DVR and watch and talk about it here on the show. And I want to hear what you guys think about TNA Impact Wrestling as well. They're going to crown a champion Tuesday night as Lashley battles EC3. And Matt Hardy takes on Eric Young. And then from there, a champion will be crowned amongst those four competitors, the final four, if you will. And all four, I believe, and someone will correct me if I'm wrong, I believe all four of these men have been champion. Of course, Hardy was the one who was the last champion leading up to or after beating EC3. I kind of am hoping that they don't go Hardy EC3 in the finals. Eric Carter III, of course, in the main event, but time will tell. Of course, we'll talk more about that on next week's show, episode 59. But in the meantime, let's get to Princess Kimberly.
It's my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for my 1-2-3 cents of the podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
Ladies and gentlemen, thanks again for joining us. And on the phone right now with us today is Princess Kimberly, the new grand champion of Chikara Pro. And Kimberly, congratulations on this big accomplishment.
Thank you. I appreciate the congrats. It's pretty awesome. I'm excited about it.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about your win, obviously, here in just a moment. But first, for fans who maybe aren't as familiar with you as some of our regular listeners who do know that we are followers of Chikara Pro, talk a little bit about your career and how long have you been in the world of professional wrestling?
Well, I started my training in 2009, so I've been around wrestling for about 6.5 years or so now. But on shows for about 4. I started training out of Philadelphia with Drew Gulak, who, if you follow Chikara, you know who that is. And he's a big influence in my career among, like, Alex Payne, who came out of Ring of Honor, Sami Callihan, and that is another person who helped me out a lot. But I've been a big part of a lot of different places, major women's companies, Shine, Shimmer, WSU. I've been to a couple different countries. I was in Japan for Reina. I've been to England and Germany for WXW in Germany, Southside and Tidal in England. So I've been around for a little while, besides just Chikara.
And you have you mentioned the training in the background that you have, so I'm assuming then you were a fan of wrestling growing up?
I was a fan of wrestling when I was a kid. However, I wasn't really allowed to watch wrestling too much because my mom didn't like it when I was younger. So I only got bits and pieces. I snuck it when I was really young. But it was just still always something that I was drawn to, even though I wasn't really allowed to watch it. So what I did get to see was pretty broken. It just, even when I, because I ended up moving over to the East Coast when I was going to college, and that's when I discovered the independent scene. And it, even like in the period where I wasn't really able to watch it much, it was always something that intrigued me and I was drawn to the whole time.
Who inspired you then as you were a fan watching it, and who kind of made you want to become a professional wrestler?
You know, the little bits and pieces that I were getting were a lot from the Attitude Era. And somebody who influenced me a lot was Chyna. I actually really liked watching her and the way that she stood up to everyone and held the Intercontinental title and which was a championship never held by a woman before, and that just really stuck out to me, and was always something that I looked up to.
Well, I guess that makes sense now to transition then into your win of the Grand Championship. You are the first female to hold the Grand Championship, beating Hollow Wicked back on December 5th at Top Banana. You led a team of men in the Battle of the Immortals as well to earn that opportunity. Tell me a little bit about, I guess, let's start off with the intergender wrestling and wrestling against men and with men in tag team matches. Is there ever any concern? How is it different, I guess, than wrestling against and with women?
For me, I really don't look at it any differently than I do any other match. When I first started training, and how I was trained was to be able to do everything that a man can do in the ring and to be able to do it just as well as them. I was always expected to do the same exercises, everything. I was never taken, it was never easier for me because I was a girl. And I was the first girl out of the training that I came through. And so I really didn't have anyone else to work with that would make it any different. So for me, transitioning into intergender wrestling really wasn't that hard because I was already used to it through my training. And I feel like that's something a lot of women should look at, is that we should be able to do everything that the men can do and work just as hard as them. And it's starting to show that we can.
Do you have a preference being in the ring versus a man as opposed to being in there against a woman, or do you just like to get in there and wrestle whomever?
I just like to wrestle. I look at everybody as an equal opponent. I just, like I said, I don't want to be discriminated against, just like none of the other women want to be discriminated against. There's women that I compete against that are just as tough as the men that I compete against, and there's no denying it. So I just want to compete against the best, period.
And
gender, I don't think, is what specifies that.
That's a great answer. And so tell me a little bit, too, about, you know, 2015 on the and I don't want to discount Chikara or Shimmer or Shine or any of the other promotions that you work for, but obviously the big dog in the fight is WWE. And women's wrestling in WWE hasn't always been, and probably still has a ways to go to be even on par with what we're seeing on the independent scene. That being said, do you think the Divas Revolution, as they call it in WWE, has helped the independent cause, or do you think the independent cause is having an influence on WWE because fans obviously want to see higher quality women's wrestling?
You know, it's probably a little bit of both. I would say within the last year especially, you can see women making a stand in a way where you can't not notice them. And so it's kind of been a demand in all mediums for the women to have a bigger force. You've seen it in UFC, you've seen it throughout all different types of things, and I think WWE goes right along with that too. And independents, even within the last year, I feel have been giving women a bigger recognition, and it might be going a little faster on the independents, just because I feel like in kind of all regards, they're kind of push the envelope a little farther than WWE or TNA or whatever does. But I definitely feel like the Divas Revolution is a real thing, and the atmosphere is changing within WWE, and the women are getting bigger opportunities and are getting showcased more and more as time goes on, just because it's being shown throughout all types of things that women need a bigger voice.
How is women's wrestling, do you think, different? And I know you haven't wrestled for WWE, but obviously you watch the product and you are a you know, you're right in there in it with the independents. How does it differ from the independents versus, say, WWE or TNA or even Ring of Honor as far as how the women are you know, presented and treated as far as being professional wrestlers?
I mean, I don't know if I'm the best person to answer on that question, just because I haven't, like, independence is really the only thing I have any experience with. I couldn't tell you how WWE treats their work. I haven't worked for them. I've worked for Ring of Honor one time now, and I was treated very well, and it was a great experience. And I feel like, with Ring of Honor showing that they're starting a women's division, and that's giving women a chance and giving women a platform. And they don't have to do that. They have a product without it, but they realize they'll have a better product with the women, and so sure. It's starting. And throughout the independents, there's more and more intergender all over the place, and not even that, there's more women's companies starting to sprout up and more companies that have been primarily all male matches are starting to have women's matches. Like, I just wrestled for House of Glory and had their first ever women's match on a show, and that's a big deal because that's another opportunity for us to get to perform and show what we can do.
And you obviously, you know, I'm looking at a list now of the companies that you have or currently are wrestling for, and you're quite busy with that. So how do you balance life in general along with, you know, all of this wrestling, and then there's training involved, and, you know, I know you've done several interviews since winning the Grand Championship as well. So how do you balance everything?
Very carefully. I don't sleep much. If you don't want to live a busy lifestyle, then this isn't the thing for you to do. It's very hectic. I am a real person. I have a real job. I work real hours. I wake up early to go to the gym before I go and work those real hours, and then I'm usually going to wrestling training afterwards a couple times a week. And on the days that I'm not, it's handling the real life stuff that I have to handle. But you just learn how to juggle it all, and if it's what you really want to do, you make it work. I came from a dance background. I classically trained in ballet, and a lot of that was similar. You spend hours and hours rehearsing and just figure out how to make it work with a full-time schedule on top of another full-time schedule. And if it's what you want, you make it happen.
Well, I appreciate you taking time to talk to us. I have a few more questions for you, and we'll let you go on. But obviously, we mentioned the Grand Championship. You won that at Top Banana, which was the season finale for Chikara. Talk a little bit about that feeling of winning that championship. I think it surprised a lot of folks watching it there at the in the building, and also watching you know, on demand and watching on video or on DVD. So tell me a little bit about how you felt after winning that championship.
I mean, it's a feeling that's really hard to put into words, to be perfectly honest. Just complete elation, just ecstatic, humbled, just lots of emotions all at once, realizing that now I have to represent this company the best of my ability, and hearing everybody cheer for me, it was a great feeling, and it really makes all the work that you put in feel like it's worth it. Just because hearing that and hearing people tell you that you deserve it is a great thing, and I can't really put into words how awesome it felt, but I appreciate every moment of it, because without people believing in me, it never could have happened.
And you're very early in your career. Is there anyone out there right now in any company that you have your eyes on that you would like to one day have that match with? Who is your dream match, so to speak?
Oh, man. I don't know. It's such a hard question because I don't know who would be the – because there's so many possibilities now. Like, I think about getting to ruffle all the original grand champions. Like, I mean, just assuming that I'll get to have matches with them defending my title and hoping that I'll be able to hold the title long enough to get these matches against Eddie Kingston, the first grand champion, and Icarus, and the rematch with Hollow Wicked, and think about, you know, the Young Lions Cup champion Heidi Loveless. If we get to have a match against each other, that's a singles match in a predominantly dominated by men company. That's two women going for the main championship. Like, that's crazy.
That would be amazing.
So there's just lots of things that I think about and I'm really excited for.
Well, I guess up next, or at least up next for Chikara, is season 16, which kicks off January 30th, Days of Phoenix, and it's a doubleheader that day going on, and happening in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Now, I'm assuming that you are already prepared and are going to be a part of that show as the company's new grand champion.
Yes, it was actually announced today, very recently, actually, within the last hour or two, that I will be wrestling Oleg the Usurper one-on-one in the main event for the evening show that day.
Awesome.
For the grand championship, because he did earn his 3 points.
So that's awesome. So
that's my first defense.
Also, and I'm sorry to keep asking questions. I'm thinking of more things as they come along. Chikara is so different from, you know, your standard. You know, when you talk about wrestling, a lot of people obviously jump to WWE. People are familiar with TNA somewhat, but Chikara, the rules, if you will, are so different. Do you find it hard to educate, I guess, fans as to what Chikara is, because it's not your typical wrestling company. It's very unique and in a good way.
Yeah, definitely in a good way. I like to describe to people when I talk about Chikara that it's like your comic book dreams come to life in a way, and to just come with an open mind and be ready to feel like you're entering a storybook, because that's what it is. You definitely have to be prepared for the suspension of disbelief, but it's great because you get to leave reality behind for a little while, and Chikara is very good at helping you do that and find yourself immersed in these crazy stories that have so many layers. Like, that's my favorite part about Chikara, is even being a part of it, watching back the entire season and everything pieced together as it goes along. Like, it's great, and it's a great thing to be a part of.
And I think that's the two biggest compliments I can give Chikara is, one, it, you know, from season one now to the start of season 16, everything has kind of fit into place. It's logical. It makes sense. Everything flows. And the other thing is that I've personally firsthand experienced, not just with this podcast, but just in person as well, is that the wrestlers are so giving to the fans. When you're at one of these shows, whether it's during intermission or, you know, throughout the show, you really become a part of the action, whether it's during the matches themselves or just getting an opportunity to talk, take a picture, or whatever. So I appreciate that as a fan, what the men and women of Chikara are giving back to the fans as well.
Yeah, absolutely. We definitely try to include you as much in everything that we do.
Well, thanks again for that, and thanks again for doing this podcast. Is there anything else you want to say before we wrap up? And also, be sure to let the fans know if you have Facebook, Twitter. I know you're on social media. If you want to give that information out as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Just definitely keep an eye on the princess in 2016. Only bigger things to come. And you can always find me on facebook.com/bombshellKimber, L-E-E, or on Twitter and Instagram @Kimber_LEE90. And that's where you can find me and keep updated on where I'll be next.
Alrighty, well, we wish you nothing but the best in 2016, the new grand champion of Chikara Pro. Thank you so much for spending a little time here with us on My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.